The Frames Per Second Podcast.
This is Dennis.
And speaking of Phil, we can get to this last dance doc. We in the final two episodes. It's the Jordan retro dream we were on is finally over. We got the final two episodes to close out this 10-part series. And it starts off with the Reggie Miller Indiana Pacers, the Eastern Conference Finals. Mm-hmm. What did y'all think about reliving those moments and just seeing Reggie Miller talk about how he pushed it to six? Or it went to seven, actually, yeah.
Yeah, it went to 7 years series.
I think the Black Jesus story was hilarious. Mm-hmm. I thought that was super funny. It made me miss Reggie Miller. I don't think we have a current Reggie Miller in the league.
No, we don't.
You talking about Klay Thompson?
Klay Thompson is a closer.
He's a closer. Hey. Yeah.
Klay is the closer.
He's better. He's better,
B,
I think.
B, who would you rather have, Reggie Miller or Klay Thompson?
Reggie Miller.
What?
I'd rather have Reggie.
Yeah, I think just because of the moxie that Reggie, you know, he had that extra
personality, man.
Yeah.
I've never seen Reggie Miller score 37 points in a quarter.
Okay.
60 points and
but
50,
Reggie
what,
Miller
was it?
Also 50, Reggie Miller was it 50 also something on? Reggie Miller also didn't have the green light that Klay Thompson had though.
Yep.
It's a different
That's
NBA.
True. Different time. But I think.
If you give Reggie Miller as many shots as Steph Curry and Klay, he would have damn near 3-point record in season two.
Here's the difference maker. Reggie Miller didn't play defense. That's the one thing about Reggie. Reggie was not great defensively. Klay Thompson is a stud defensively.
I give you that, but Klay Thompson ain't the clutch player that Reggie was.
You know? Nope. Yeah. No, Reggie's up there with all time.
He's not here.
He's not clutch.
But okay, he's not as
I'm a Klay Thompson guy, so I'm gonna defend Klay.
I love Klay. I love Klay more than anybody, I think. But Reggie was just something else. I hated Reggie, but he was something else out there on that court, man. When you talk about clutch, like you said, he's one of the all time greats as far as clutch shooting and clutch getting clutch buckets goes. Ain't too many like Reggie Miller out there at all.
Ken, for that 7-game series, when they got to that game 7. Did you think, like, the Pacers were actually going to, like, take over and, like, win against the Bulls? Like, take down the run?
Nope, not at all. I think they were trailing by double digits. They came back and took a 3-point lead. Basketball is a game of runs. I knew one was inevitable. And when they lost that tip, I remember that. When they lost that tip and Kerr hit that shot, I knew it was over then.
The thing I remember about that series the most is I remember Mark Jackson was killing the Bulls. Like, and then Phil Jackson, I want to say it was either game two or game three, Phil Jackson made the decision to put Scottie Pippen on Mark. And Scottie Pippen was guarding Mark full court for the rest of the series. Like, it slowed everything that Indiana was trying to do because Mark Jackson was like the engine that made it go. You know what I'm saying? Yep. Like,
right.
Mark Jackson was making everything go. But when Scottie Pippen was on him, I mean, Scottie Pippen was like Mark Jackson was literally bringing the ball up like this the whole every time he brought the ball up with his back turned because like Scottie Pippen was on him. That's really one thing I remember about that series. Like I didn't think Indiana was gonna beat them.
Yeah,
but I thought they had a chance though. Like it was like oh it's Chicago can't just
that like, was
check this off. You know
that was the most that was the to me that was the best team in the East that gave the Bulls a run.
Yeah,
That Indiana team was that was the best Indiana team. But that Indiana run, that 5-year window that Indiana had, that was the best team they had. I mean, they had Mark Jackson, Travis Best, Reggie Miller, the Davis twins, a young Jalen Rose, Chris Mullins. I mean, that was a really good team.
Yeah.
And I mean, honestly, that series was close, man. I mean,
it was.
They could that was a home series. If Indiana I to this day I will contend that if Indiana had home field advantage in that series, they would have won that series.
Yeah.
Probably so.
I would have won that series.
You know what I loved hearing was, first of all, Reggie didn't want to do the interview at all.
No, he didn't.
So I thought that was funny.
That's because he's competitive like that.
Yeah, he is because he remembers. But I love hearing Reggie. We all know he wanted the ball. Like, And I love hearing those guys like, yo, give me the ball. I'm the guy. We don't sort of hear that nowadays. But
he wasn't scared of Jordan.
Huh?
He wasn't scared of Jordan at all.
And that was the thing. That was the thing. He was not intimidated. And he said it, or somebody said he had the utmost confidence. But when he went through that play where he hit that shot,
yeah,
and he said, I'm going to force the official to make a call. Yep. And he said, I gave him a little bump.
Uh-huh.
And Jordan went flying, and he got open. Like, those little small details that are what make moments.
Yep.
But that's funny, because that's like some backyard basketball bullshit. Like, I got to get this push off in order for me to get the separation I need. And it's funny, because like he said, like, I'm going to make sure that you have to make the call. I know what I'm going to do. It's a variable that I can't control as far as the ref. But if it's going to end on me, it's going to end on me. So I love that type of mindset. I think it's a similar mindset when you talk about Utah with what's his name, John Stockton. Like, he had the same thing with – he was like, I'm not scared of Jordan. He was like, I couldn't play against Jordan if I was, like, looking at him and worshiping him.
Yeah.
Yeah, but they didn't have a chance.
Exactly. And Nick, I want to jump on that last part that you said. I don't think that a lot of players feared Jordan, but a lot of players knew that, damn, if he gets the last shot, like, we're going to lose. You know, I just think there was a reality check with playing against Michael that he is better than me, but I'm not going to back down. And then when he got the ball, it was like, there's nothing I can do about it. As hard as I played, you know what I'm saying? So I wouldn't say there was a lot of people that were scared, at least not the other superstars that were at his level. They all wanted to compete. It's just Jordan had that extra 0.5 or 2% better than everybody else that they just couldn't match.
I'll tell you one thing. Jordan better be lucky that he got through that game 6, because if they would have lost that game, they were going to lose game 7, because Pippen, that back was gone. Pippen was not going to play game 7. And I remember that. I remember, like, when I was watching it, I was like, oh, that's right. Pippen did have that. And I remember he had that back then. And I remember back then I was saying, I'm like, yo, if they don't come away with this victory in this game 6, you know, it's a wrap. And I mean,
of course, Jordan knew that too.
He knew it. I mean, Jordan was exhausted. You know, he was saying how tired he was and how exhausted he was just playing that game. If they would have lost that game, I said, Scottie Pippen wouldn't have played, and Jordan would have probably he'd have been so mentally tired to try to do everything himself. Utah would have got the championship.
Let's be real. Utah gave them 2 championships. I mean, they should have beat them in 97. Karl Malone had a horrible series. That's why everybody, whenever I have debates with people about Karl Malone's greatness, give me Charles Barkley any day of the week over Karl Malone. Karl Malone, he just was a choke artist, bro. Like, you look back in that series, like, Karl Malone was terrible in that 97. He was a little better in 98, but he was – I mean, John Stockton was the best player on the court for Utah those 2 finals. Like, let's be real. Like, I mean, you have Malone missing free throws in game 1 in 97 finals. I mean, just terrible. I mean, Utah really gay. Out of all the teams that the Bulls faced in that 90s run, Utah, to me – were the two teams that should have beat the Bulls. I mean, 97, I don't know, 98, the Bulls were up 3-1, so it's a little bit hard to make that case. But, I mean, you got to think back to that 97 finals, bro. It's a 2-2 series, and Michael Jordan is sick, and you have a double-digit lead, and you lose that game?
Hold on. Was he sick? Y'all believe that?
Allegedly. Hold on. Let's go down the road. Ken, was he sick, yes or no?
Well, he said you mean with the stomach? No, hell no. That's some bullshit. He finally figured out a way to spin it, but no. That wasn't food poisoning.
That story was terrible.
Hold on. So no, Shelton, was he sick or not?
Not at all. He was hungover, for sure.
Beezy, was he sick or not?
Man, he ain't shit. He wasn't sick.
Nick, was he sick or not?
The worst story ever told.
Manny, was he sick or not?
I think he was sick. Now, the reason why he was sick could
be Manny, all right, bro. All right, Manny, we appreciate you coming through. All right.
and the Oscar goes to Michael Jordan for acting like he was sick award, playing the dang on basketball game. Sitting there.
The man said he had the flu. I got to believe him.
Let me say my part on that, right? The only thing I'm thinking about is, okay, we order a pizza to the hotel, and five people come to deliver. How they know that's for Michael? You know what I'm saying? And they deliver it to his door.
It is like, Utah.
No, Mike. It is no,
it's very Celtic. Small.
It's worse than that.
But how do you know, Mike?
It's worse than that because it's like, who the hell stays up past 1 a.m. and gets pizza in Utah? No one does that shit. That
nigga at a five-star hotel.
And don't you think Michael Jordan would have a different name for his door? Oh, we ordered a pizza for Jordan. Can we get a Michael Jordan pizza delivered to Michael Jordan, room 548? Like, come on, man.
He probably did have a different name, but I mean, it's Utah, so I mean, this ain't like this is Philadelphia. It's freaking Salt Lake City. So I guarantee you, there's not that many 5-star hotels. Let's put it frankly, there's not many niggas in there. So I mean, it could have been Ron Harper ordering that pizza. They were gonna spit or do whatever in that pizza. I mean, look, I like the conspiracy theories. I get a kick out of them. Could he have been hungover? Knowing Jordan, probably. I remember looking at him in that game. I mean, you could tell he wasn't right. I'm not going to say – he didn't look hungover. I think he looked sick. That's just me. You can call me Boo Boo the Fool, but whatever.
Yeah, I definitely think he was sick. I don't know the reason why. It could have been hungover. Could have been – he had a bad cigar. I don't know. But he wasn't 100%. He wasn't 100% that guy.
Like, you can just tell.
He just wasn't. Yeah, he wasn't. He wasn't.
But he was on Ken – Mm-hmm. Danny said something that made you cringe as far as the Utah not being that great against the Bulls.
I'm not a Karl Malone fan.
Same here. So
that series, I really, I didn't really like MJ. But, nah, man, you could clear – like, when I was watching that, I just recall remembering, like, how dominant – it felt like Chicago was over them. You were hoping that Utah could win that game, and we were happy.
Really?
Yeah, man. Dominant? Like the first one, like for them to come back and tie it up 2-2. Once they went down, like I didn't think
Chicago had the championship medal. But I mean, if you just look at the rosters, and the other thing too, Jerry Sloan, I love him. God bless him. But Jerry Sloan, his double teaming late in games, they couldn't figure out double teaming for shit. Like, I mean, how is Jordan open to hit that shot in game one? I mean, how is he just getting a wide open shot in game one? And even the Steve Kerr, I mean, they just met, even the Steve Kerr shot in game six. I mean, they messed up that sequence there. I mean, to me, Utah gave those series away. Because honestly, if you look back, outside of Jordan and Pippen, I think to me, Utah had a better roster. To me.
Oh, no, man.
I think Utah, yeah. At the very least, Utah should have won one of those championships.
Yeah, Utah had a solid roster, and they had an awesome coach with a great game plan.
The 93 Suns and the 97 Jazz were the two teams that should have beat the Bulls in those finals.
The Suns were down 3-1 to the Bulls, weren't they?
But the Suns, yeah, they were. But those were close games. The Suns lost the first two games of those series. Chuck was hurt, and KJ had a horrible series. KJ was terrible that series. I mean, look back at the numbers. KJ was terrible. I mean, yeah, I think he had a game where he shot like 2 for 16, had like 7 points. I mean, KJ was terrible in that series.
Oh, no. I wanted them to
win. It's all revisionist history. Who knows? Yeah. But I think Utah and Phoenix should have won one of those championships.
I think out of all the teams, though, Indiana would have been the team, even though that's – you know, same side. Indiana was the team that was probably better than Chicago out of the three teams that we just talked about. So they shouldn't have.
Indiana was deep. Indiana had a dope bench. They did.
Indiana had
everything. They had size.
Yeah.
They went too deep at every position.
Yep.
And they were strong.
And the combination of Larry Bird and Rick Carlisle coaching, that was a good combination. Yeah.
And another thing is too, man, Jesus Christ, Twitter people, whatever, whoever be handling these Twitter accounts and stuff, the second that Michael Jordan talks shit to somebody, they just act like that's just the most savage thing ever. Like when he shook Bird's hand after they beat Indiana, he went and holler at Bird and he come, fuck you, bitch, and all that shit. That's regular guy talk, man. Like that is regular shit talking. That is nothing savage or way more extraordinary of What? Oh man, y'all heard Jordan? Jordan is like the utmost trash talker. He ain't even say nothing. Like, come on, yeah, y'all. Right. Y'all gotta stop this. Stop.
And I'm sure they said just as much to him. You know what I'm saying?
That's what I'm saying. Stop acting like when Jordan curses something or talks shit, that it's just a whole new level of, oh my God. Y'all hear Jordan trash talking? Look what he said, and there's clips of it. And people, I'm like, come on, y'all need.
That was.
I think it had a lot to do with who it was. It was Larry Bird and Michael. It was great.
That was awesome to me. When he told him, he was like, "Now you get to work on your golf game." I was like, "Yeah."
That's just regular. That's regular man. That's us men talking shit.
And Larry Bird and Mike have that kind of relationship. Like they're really close too.
I know. That's what I'm saying. Yeah. It's nothing extraordinary about that. Why people blowing that clip up? That's, I don't get
it. It's just 2020 Twitter. They're gonna blow
Jesus
up anything.
Jesus Christ, man!
Right.
Michael could have said,
"Y'all don't
Michael
got no damn
said,
friends."
Man. And he's, they would have.
That's all. They don't got no. They ain't had no friends growing up. That's all that shit is.
Speaking so of blowing things up, I want to get to the last episode 10, as far as why did this run end? Why did Jerry Krause kill this dream from the beginning of the season? Because I feel like that's something that is kind of lost in the beginning of the doc or I think towards the middle of the doc when they say that Jerry Krause told Phil Jackson, "I don't give a damn if you go undefeated. You still ain't coming back."
It's
you got the wrong Jerry.
Yeah, that's an easy answer.
What Jerry was that?
Jerry Reinsdorf. Who signs the checks?
Yeah. So why signs the checks? Why did this run end? Like, what logical reasoning could be for
Jerry Reinsdorf? Because Jerry Reinsdorf was cheap. Go ahead, Sean. I'm walking all over
you. No, you go ahead, because I want you to make that point, too. That's a good point.
To me, and I said it on the podcast we were all on the other day, Jerry Reinsdorf, to me, is the biggest culprit why this – let's just be honest, man. Jerry Reinsdorf didn't want to pay these dudes. He never wanted to pay them to begin with. I mean, the fact that Michael Jordan was only making, like, just – lost in all of the Scottie Pippen contract hoopla was the fact that Michael Jordan wasn't even making that much more – than Scotty. Michael was getting all his money from Nike. So Jerry Reinsdorf was just cheap. And Jerry Reinsdorf's notoriously always been cheap. He's a cheap baseball owner, and he's even a cheaper basketball owner. Like, he never wants to pay anybody. And Jerry Reinsdorf looked at it. He was like, "Yo, look at all these dudes that Michael's making money off." I mean, you just look at the following offseason. Steve Kerr got a $40 million deal. Luke Longley got like $45-50 million to the Suns. All the money that he knew he was going to have to pay these dudes, Jerry Reinsdorf told himself, "I'm not paying all these dudes. I'm not paying a 35-year-old Michael. I'm not paying a 31-year-old Scottie Pippen who's been bitching and complaining for years about his contract." Like, I think it was Jerry Reinsdorf, yo. Like, to me, at the end of the day, the buck stops with you. You're the owner. You are the guy that signs the check. You have the greatest athlete, arguably, ever play team sports. And you don't keep that dynasty going. You don't suck everything dry out of that. Out of that drink, to me, is negligence as an owner, man.
It's not. And Shante, I know you wanted to go, but I have to jump in here.
Go ahead.
It's good GMing. And sometimes you got to do things that aren't necessarily popular. You got to do what's popular. Yeah, because you look at the state of that franchise. Number one, you weren't necessarily drafting high draft picks like Scottie Pippen and Horace Grant were. Right, you're no longer drafting there. So how are you going to be able to retool? Not necessarily rebuild, but if you want to keep a dynasty going, right? Nah. Because when they brought in Rodman, when they brought in Jud Buster, hold on. When they brought in Steve Kerr, they retooled from that first three-peat. They didn't have an opportunity to retool because Jordan is win to yesterday mode, right? Who else were you going to bring in there at market value, right, at a fair market value to truly compete? And then are you going to sign three-year deals for these new players? And what happens if you sign Michael Jordan to a one-year deal, he decides to go? Now you're stuck with these other guys for two more years. That impedes the rebuild process. And I also think that it was time, because if you look at the landscape of the NBA, who was the next champion? The San Antonio Spurs, which Steve Kerr is the only player to have a four four championships in a row, by the way, if y'all didn't know that. People be knowing this stuff. However, if you look at the way that roster was constructed, first of all, Tim Duncan was giving Shaq problems. Tim Duncan, They also had David Robinson. They also had Sean Elliott. They also had a lot of younger guys, right, that can physically compete with the Bulls, and then the Bulls didn't have nothing that can compete with their two best players. So it was time. It was time. Not saying that, and I'm not going to put anything past MJ. He went 6-0. Great player. Obviously the greatest. I think he's the greatest. But if you look at how or where the Bulls were going, where the NBA was going at the same time, there was no way the Bulls were going to be the San Antonio Spurs the next year. I'm with Luke Longley and Steve Kerr.
Listen, man, I'm sorry, FIFO, but I disagree. I believe that it was Michael's call to make. Like you said, yep. Mike won 6 championships. It should have been his call. Like, we would have sat down and had a conversation like, where do you see the team at, Mike? Like, what do you think? You're the greatest player on the planet.
But you think Pippen coming back? You think Pippen coming back? Pippen
wasn't coming back.
I think if Phil comes back,
I think Mike comes back. I think Pippen is not. Pippen's gone. Pippen was gone in August. Like Pippen was gone. Like there was no way Pippen was coming back.
I think that Mike could have had a conversation with Pippen and maybe brought him back. But my thing is, whether they won or lost, I think I would have still gave him another shot. I think they deserved it. I just think that if it's hard to break up a band like that. I think when you say what was the demise, I think it was Jerry Krause for me. And that's and Manny, you made a great argument about that, about it being Reinsdorf, and I get that too. But Jerry Krause got that short man complex. He just wanted to be the boss. And he wanted to make moves and seem like he was a genius more so than acting on what was happening at the time.
But he was. Was he not all up until that?
He was. But he still had something to prove. Because he didn't get the respect deserved with
that.
So in saying that, let me be smarter just to show you how smart I am. You know what I'm saying? So I'm gonna make these moves. And I'm not saying it was the worst thing to do, but like you said recently, somebody said the other day, one of y'all, they've been in rebuilding mode ever since. So
exactly. You know what I'm saying? That's the thing about this too, man. It's like I love how these people, and I'm not saying you people in particular, I'm just saying in general. I love how everybody wants to rebuild until the rebuild happens and then they realize it's harder than it actually is. Because rebuilding sounds great on paper, like, oh yeah, I could tear it down and I get draft picks. Michael Jordan ain't walking back through that door. Scottie right. Pippen ain't walking back through that door. And that's why I can't stand this whole rebuild logic. Like, to me, when you've got the best, again, I say that, the best player to ever lace up basketball shoes, still right. at the peak of his powers, or at least close to it, and wants to play, you have mm-hmm. the greatest coach to ever coach who had you mended fences. That's why I bring up Jerry Krause being the biggest culprit, because Jerry Krause let this relationship between Krause or Jerry Reinsdorf let this relationship between Krause and Phil and the players fester for years. It just didn't happen the summer of 97. I mean, this was years in the making. And that franchise needed an adult in a room. They needed somebody to get in there and say, yo, we need to sit down and we need to understand what the hell is going on here.
Right.
And why didn't Jerry Reinsdorf go to Jerry Krause and say, yo, I need you to get along with Michael. Michael is the Bulls.
Right.
He's the cash cow. Without Michael, we're nothing.
Yeah, because that's what they be talking about.
And if Jerry Krause doesn't get in line, then you replace Jerry Krause.
Right.
You can find another Jerry Krause.
I ain't going that far, Manny. But Shelton, what were you saying?
I was going to say, you think about it. Like, if Jordan had came back for another year, I don't give a damn if they won a championship or not. Every arena would have been sold out. Every jersey would have been sold. We would have got another shoe. All this stuff, the money would have came. It was about the money for me. Let that man go out. You know what I'm saying?
Who made it to the finals in 99 in the East? Who made it to the finals?
Spurs.
New York.
Oh, in the East.
No, New York.
Spurs, New York, right?
The eighth seeded New York Knicks. Anybody on this panel want to debate me that the Chicago Bulls, a tired Chicago Bulls team, a Michael Jordan with a bad finger? Because if y'all didn't realize, Michael Jordan had an accident over the summer. Where he had a cigar incident, we cut his finger. He couldn't grip the ball so he couldn't grip the ball for a few months.
Them damn cigars.
Yeah. I will take a injured, you know, 9-finger Jordan against that New York Knicks team any day of the week.
100% Manny. And you know what? They would have beat that Knicks team, and then they would have got swept by San Antonio. We can say that.
Who knows? Hold on, FIFA.
Look. You heard what Mike said in the doc. He said, I ain't Shaq. You was talking about Timmy D. He was giving Shaq problems. He was like, look, I ain't Shaq.
There's two of them.
I ain't Shaq.
But there was 2 7-footers.
Thank you, FIFA.
There's two of them. It's not just Tim Duncan. If it was just Tim Duncan, yeah. I put my money Robinson on the Bulls. But don't be disrespectful, man. I'm about to throw you in the boat with Nick over there.
I'm a Laker fan, man. Don't talk to me about David Robinson or the Spurs, man.
But look, I'm sitting here and I'm listening to you guys, and you guys sound like fans. And that's no disrespect. Like, I'm a fan, too. I'm a big-time fan, too. And I will.
That's hella disrespect. That's coming from me.
Whatever. But at the end of the day, I feel like when you're an owner and you're a GM, you got to look at the business of it. And like I was explaining before, fine, we bring back MJ. We bring back everybody minus Scotty, right? Because I don't think Scotty was signed. Like he had enough and he wanted his money. He wanted a fresh start. I don't think he wanted to be in Jordan's shadow anymore. With that being said, could the Bulls have made it out the East? Yes. But then some of these guys you would have to sign for longer than 1 year deals. I don't think Steve Kerr – if Steve Kerr has San Antonio saying, hey, we're going to give you 4 years, $40 million, or Chicago said we're going to give you 1 year, $5 million, he's going to take the money. The majority of these guys would have taken the money. And we also have to look at the fact that they played in 3 straight finals. And we know what type of mental anguish, physical anguish, everything that you have to put into it to win. These guys were dumb tired. If you brought that team back, I don't think it would have been the best.
I think the biggest frustration.
No, go ahead.
I think the biggest frustration, though, is that we didn't see them get beat. And that's the thing. Like, every champion at least has to get defeated. Like, you got to see them lose in the heat of the battle.
No,
you know what I mean? Like,
at the very least,
there's closure if they come back in 99 or all win. And I agree with you. It would have been some finagling to get everybody on the same page, especially
Scottie. And my
I agree with you. Scottie's gone.
But my whole thing, though, is bringing Jordan back and trying to bring that cast back, what would that have meant? Just that 1 year financially for the Bulls, what do you think that would have brought in as opposed to breaking up the band?
I can't say the damn word the way I want to. It's a consequential. I know I'm kind of close. Into consequential. and the reason why I say that is even though the Bulls have been rebuilding since Jordan left, the Bulls, especially for the last, I would say, 5 to 7 years after Jordan left, were still top five in ticket sales and filling the arena. Because Jordan placed that organization, that franchise, with the mystique of one of the best ever in the NBA, in NBA history. And because of that, I think it was best that that question is never answered about the 7th one, because that mystique is what drives, or one of the aspects that drives that whole lore of the Bulls and of Michael Jordan and the way he went out against Utah. There's no better way. The timing was right for them to move on and let what Michael Jordan created as the NBA to manifest itself into what it is today. The game didn't need Jordan no more, to be honest. It didn't need Jordan no more. Jordan needed the game more than Jordan.
That's why I stopped you, FIFA. The ratings for that 99 finals were shit compared to the year prior. Come on now. But my point is this, coming off a strike season, too.
But my point is this. If Jordan comes back and Jordan isn't that, right, do we really want to see our greatest guy stumble to the end? It's the same conversation that we had on Dead of Hip Hop like 2 years ago. Do we want the best artist to fade away or to burn out?
I'm with you. I mean, the way it went down was perfect for me as a fan, because I wanted Jordan to end up on top. But what I'm saying is, for business, there's no way you don't let him come back if he wants to. It's Jordan. What more could you ask for?
Because the business isn't Jordan. The business is the Chicago Bulls. And for the best interest of the Chicago Bulls, it's time to move forward.
Jordan is the Chicago Bulls. Jordan, and the biggest failure Jerry Reinsdorf made was he allowed Michael Jordan to wear another uniform. That, to me, is dereliction of duty. Like, to me, your duty is for the greatest player to ever put on a basketball uniform to retire. Like, he tells you when he wants to go.
That's it.
B, do you think that's how
that's why I stand with it.
But hold on, Manny. I think all of that conversation, like the Jordan would have came back. The thing is that you had to take care of everybody else, and they didn't do that. And because they didn't do that, they couldn't bring him back. That was the issue. Because if you would have took care of Scotty, when you get to the second three-peat, you could bring Scotty back. But because you didn't take care of Scotty, what is that roster?
But that's where I blame Jerry Reinsdorf, because had he done his job years prior, like, it wouldn't have manifested itself to the point where you had an angry Scottie Pippen, to the point of saying, basically, fuck y'all, I'm going to go get paid. Like, I think had you handled that situation years prior better,
right?
I think it doesn't get to the point where you have that situation in 98. Now, it's all revisionist history. It's all easy for us to sit here now and talk about this stuff. And there's a lot of people that are on both sides of it. Like, there's some people that said they should have definitely brought everybody back. There's some people that said there was no way they were gonna be back. So it's very split. And I see the aspects of both sides, but I just can't get over the fact that Jerry Reinsdorf basically allowed Michael Jordan to walk away and retire without at the very least trying to bring that crew together. To me, if you have Phil Jackson and Michael Jordan back on board, you have a chance. That's just me.
Did they try at the end, right? But it was too late.
Yeah, too late.
So they knew, but they just knew too late.
I got a question about I think Scotty's recent comments about his portrayal in the doc. there was a comment. There's an article that says that he's livid. B, do you think that Scotty has does he have a right to be angry about how he was portrayed in the doc as a selfish kind of player?
I mean, what happened in the doc is what actually happened. When he quit on his team in 94 playoffs, that's facts. Like, I'm pretty sure he probably was mad at the fact that they didn't portray nothing positive about Scotty. So, I mean, I guess from that standpoint, I would have been like, damn, why you didn't – y'all didn't show how much I sacrificed such and such and such and such or whatever. But, to be honest with you, I kind of saw this coming. Like, I knew probably Horace Grant was going to say some stuff. Oh, the documentary is 90% bullshit. I knew Pippen was going to say some stuff or whatever. So, I mean, does he have a right? Yeah, he has a right. I mean, he has a right to be mad or whatever. I mean, you know, because like I said, what we saw was still factual. It's just a matter of the fact that they just only point out the negative about it. But, you know, it is what it is. Whatever. Pippen, I don't care about Pippen either. Whatever, Pippen. You a good rapper. Get on somewhere, Pippen.
He dug his own hole. That's my stance on it. Yeah. He dug his own hole. When you sat there and basically said, I look back on the 94 situation.
Yeah.
And there's nothing I would change.
Yeah.
I was just like, this dude is brain dead.
Yeah.
Like,
you already know what type of stuff he was on.
Come on now. Come on now. You quit on your team and then you look back at it 20 something years later and you wouldn't change anything. Yeah. Bye, right. Scotty.
All right.
Yeah. I think, you know, for me watching this entire series, what I concluded about Scottie Pippen, he's the flakiest superstar ever.
Facts.
You know, because when you look at him, you know, early days against Cleveland, you know, his back hurting or the migraine, and it just seemed like at very major points and games that can, you know, win or go home, there was something wrong with Pippen. And Jordan had to even overcome that. You know what I'm saying? So, I think the doc portrayed Pippen the way – maybe not in the greatest light. However, Pippen had a lot of great moments, and I think the doc showed that too. But overall, what I took away from it from Scottie Pippen's perspective is he was just flaky. When they needed him most, he wasn't there. Where if it was, oh, you know, he didn't take care of his surgery in time, the migraines, the back, and obviously some of those things he can't control. I get it. But at the end of the day, it is what it is. It's game six, game seven, win or go home, and you're not 100%. Or you're not even 95% to play. So that's the issue.
You know, I want to know what else Scotty said that could have changed the way that we look at it. You know, he was asked, he saw the documentary from what I heard or saw before this thing even went live. So he was fully aware of what was being said. So what was it, and if he didn't see the final product, what was left on the cutting room floor. Because Scotty had a really good defining moment when he played in that last game with his back all jacked up. But, you know, I don't think he really got celebrated for toughing it out. Because, you know, going up to that point, based on the way they portray him, you know, with everything else, it made it you would think that he was going to sit it out. But he went back in the game, and he tried, and he made an impact. So what is he upset about? What did they leave out that we didn't hear?
Maybe it was more of like somebody else was like who watched it while he was there or whatever, whisper something in his ear like, nah, they got you fucked up right here. Or whatever. You know how some people kind of like,
got himself fucked up. He said
he
all
answered
those
the
things.
Questions. He answered the questions that they yes. asked him. Again, he answered the fact that he said, yeah, I wasn't going to fuck up my summer. He said that. That came out of his mouth. Like, so I don't understand how, like...
Right. Everything is factual, man. Yeah.
It wasn't like something was written. You know how it is when you write something, you can kind of skew it in a way, right. or you're reading it in a way that sounds... No, he answered the questions.
Yeah.
So, like, I just don't understand how... facts. Exactly. Yeah. So, like, I don't... To me, Scotty is flaky, man. I'm with you, folks. Scotty is... Scotty's a sometime and do, man.
Get your ass out of here, nostrils.
All right, what were some of y'all favorite moments from 9 and 10 or just throughout the whole doc itself?
And listen, Dennis Rodman going to fucking wrestle.
That was the best part. Easily the best part. No, you had practice. And Ken, during the NBA Finals, this wasn't no regular season game or playoff game. Around one or two. This was the NBA Finals. You left. You went to a wrestling match on the day that y'all supposed to have practice. Come back. You still playing ball out. That's yep. how important you are to the team. Like, and the team didn't even – you ain't even suffer no consequences. You didn't get benched for the game.
Nope.
Because you knew how important Dennis Rodman is. Like, that's insane. So, I 100% agree with you, Ken.
They didn't even talk about it.
Huh?
What are you going to say, Nick?
I was going to say my favorite quote from Phil Jackson when the reporters were asking him about where's Dennis. It was like, Dennis got y'all distracted. He ain't got us distracted at all.
Yeah, yeah. That I mean, that's Phil's greatness, man. So I don't want to hear shit. Like people, even I forgot about that. I'll be honest. I forgot that he did that.
Yeah.
But people look at all of the stuff that people are doing now that people do nowadays, and they, you know, some of these stories, you know, are forgotten in history. But yeah, but he came out and he played hard as hell, and he had an impact. But yeah,
because they knew what you're gonna get from Rodman, man. So,
I mean, it shows that you have to, like, it's a lot of people management because you can't manage everybody the same way, right. And you have to, you know, manage certain people differently. You have to cater to their emotional and physical needs as well. And Phil had a good pulse on what his players, you know, needed.
I mean, that's what makes Phil the greatest coach of all time, man. You know, it's not just about X's and O's. It's about managing talent, managing egos, and building a cohesive unit. And that's what made Phil the greatest coach of all time. I mean, he did that with the Bulls. He did that with the Lakers. I mean, just think about it. We talked about it on the show the other day. Just think about it. He dealt with everything that was surrounding Michael Jordan and those six championships. And then he goes to the Lakers and deals with Shaq and Kobe and still wins. Mm-hmm. Like, if that's not the greatest coach in NBA history, I'm sorry. I just don't know who else you can even – I mean, I know Pat Riley's great. I know Pop is great. Red Auerbach did his thing. I mean, but come on. I mean, to deal with what Phil had to deal with and still be not just great and win, but dominant at that. And, I know he had talent. We all know he has talent. But give me what great coach that won a championship doesn't have talent. Like, you need talent to win. So,
them 0-4 Pistons?
Man, listen. The Lakers lost that series more than the Pistons won that series. That's my stance.
Oh, man.
I'm sticking to it. And I'm sticking to it.
Spoken just like a Laker fan.
I'm directing that right at. I'm directing that right at you, B.
You're afraid to admit the facts, man. You're afraid to admit that Tayshaun had Kobe shook.
Man,
Listen, man, Chappelle Show had Kobe shook. Man, get out of here, man.
Look at them game three stats.
Karl Malone was hitting on Vanessa.
Look at them game three stats. Kobe was shook. Kobe was shook, bro.
Karl Malone was hitting on Vanessa. Phil was writing a book. Kobe was facing rape. Kobe was facing rape charges and still balling out.
They got Shaq to the finals. Fat. They got to the finals, though. You can't give them excuses. Business was man, too whatever, much. We man. Was too athletic. We was too. Y'all had a prime pass. Karl Malone. He was done. Gary Payton done. Billups and Rasheed was eating Malone and Gary Payton. Gary Payton with the glove no more. And then Larry Brown had the perfect game.
If we play
10
times, if we play 10 times.
Ain't no if. The game is it's a 7-game series.
If we play 10 times.
You 5-game sweep y'all.
You don't even believe that.
Manny, B said if the glove don't fit, the Lakers quit.
Hey, the other moment from the documentary, I thought Jordan was real slick with was the Byron Russell shot. Now, I don't know if y'all caught this, but he set that up in a previous episode when he talked about when he first met Brian Russell and how he played defense on his toes and how his momentum would go forward. He set that and put that in people's minds way ahead of the shot that eventually came. And that's why he would say, I didn't push him off. His momentum was carrying him that way. And, man, that dude is maniacal.
So you think he pushed
man.
Off? You think he pushed off?
Yeah, he pushed off. You could do that back then.
It didn't give him no advantage. He pushed off, but no official in America is going to call that on Michael Jordan late in the game.
Right.
You
like
know
that?
I know that.
On Reggie Miller when Reggie Miller pushed off. So it goes both ways. But, yeah, I still think he pushed
Reggie
off.
Reggie Miller ain't Mike.
But Reggie Miller still got away with it, though. That's the point. So if Reggie Miller got away with it, we know damn sure well that Michael Jordan's going to get away with it. But last thing, people, and I'm handing it to you. The other thing, remember we talked about the details. I like when he said that when I was coming up the court, I like how everybody else said, get out the way. Rodman's like, just get out the way. Ain't no way he's going to pass the ball. I like what Pippen said. I like that everybody already knew what was about to happen. They were like, let's just get out of the way and just watch it. And I like what Michael Jordan, he was like, man, when I was came on the court, I knew I could either drive it or take the shot. And it just shows that he's processing the game, and he already knows how he was going to attack. The floor is yours, FIFO.
I definitely don't think that. I think Mike put his hand on him, but he didn't make Byron Russell stumble. Byron Russell was already going to fall with or without Jordan touching him. He touched him. He didn't push him. Mm-hmm. But I also think, you know, it goes back. I can't remember which episode it was, but who was saying it? But they were talking about how Jordan started to see the game of basketball and how he was controlling everything in the game. Like he was playing games within the game. And I think that at the pinnacle,
BJ Armstrong.
And how BJ was saying that, like, how he was just playing games inside of the game. And we saw that in that last instance. Like, as a coach, I've coached basketball. You don't tell your players to do certain things. Instinctually, they do it because they understand time, score, temperature of the stadium or that court of what's happening. And for Jordan to double team off the weak side, they ran that same play so many times. Jordan instinctually, okay, cool. They did it again. This is what I'm going to do. He got the steal. Came down, like you said. Everybody just moved the hell out of the way because they knew. But Jordan in himself knew that the game is mine. We played 47 and a half minutes for this moment. And it wasn't going to be nobody else's moment but his. And he seized it. It wasn't like, yo, give me the ball. Let's run a play. No. I went and took it from their best player, came down, and made arguably the greatest farewell shot ever to win the game. That's because he's Jordan, man. And this documentary was great. It filled in a lot of gaps for me. I grew up, I watched Jordan, but I only saw the championship years. I didn't see rookie Jordan. I didn't see struggling Jordan. I didn't see Doug Collins Jordan. I didn't see first year Phil Jordan. I didn't see that. I didn't understand the dynamic between Jerry Krause and Jerry Reinsdorf and the whole Bulls team. Like, I didn't know that. So for this documentary to come out now, especially during these times, that we actually could sit down, digest it, and all of that, man, it was amazing, man. So I'm glad that it came out. I'm glad that I lived in this era to watch MJ and to see all of the MJ babies and all of the great players that followed suit. Even international guys. But, yeah, man, this documentary was awesome.
Hey. I was going to say, FIFO, that tap was like, you know how you moving behind a girl in the club and she got a fat ass, you do that little tap?
Yeah, hey,
that's the same amount of pressure.
I need to get by you.
That's the same amount of pressure Jordan gave to Russell.
That's ushering when you're in church and they usher you to your seat.
Yep. Hey, and that happened. There was another game when a shot he hit on him, too. And Byron Russell did the same thing and went sliding all over the goddamn court.
Jordan gave him a hezzy left and pulled up.
Yep. Tom Brady said he up next. Tom Brady announced he got a documentary.
That'll be a good doc.
Hey,
can't get out of here, Tom. Nobody wants to see that.
Yeah, they do, because the white folks need this, because they trying to take down Michael Jordan. They want Tom Brady to be the greatest player of all time, of all sports.
I hope he flops in Tampa.
He's not.
Shelton, what was your favorite moment?
I said this on Any Given Sunday with Manny. Y'all go check that out too. But tell everybody to check us out on there. When he was sitting there and when he broke down into tears when he was talking about why he did what he did, like I said, because I'm the ultimate competitor. I love competition. So I kind of get where he's coming. I wish I was him. Now, I ain't that far along, but just how competitive he is and the spirit he has with that, that part made me want to cry. Like, dang, man, I get it. Like, I'm so competitive that I'm misunderstood sometimes. And that was deep to me. Plus, the part where he said the first three championships was more athleticism and the second three was more mental and more his, you know, him coming into himself. So it was like the tale of two different players. That was deep to me. So those two parts is what stood out to me most. Of course, there were Jordan moments, but like you said, the best non-Jordan moment had to be anything with Robin in it. Anything Dennis Robin did was dope to me. He was a special person. But that's pretty much it for me. What did it? But it was all good, man. I'm gonna miss this thing, man. I don't know what I'm gonna do right now because
I'm not.
Stop hating, man.
Be outside of the Isaiah and Bad Boy stuff. Is there anything else you liked in the doc?
I mean, it was a good documentary. I can't really pinpoint what I liked or loved about it. Like I said, I've been saying when we talk about these, I like, you know, them going behind the scenes of how Jordan, you know, how Jordan thinks and just how he mentally prepares for stuff and how he's just wired different. Like, Jordan is just a different guy. And, those aspects and everything is cool to see that. But, yeah, like, the Piston joints was my favorite part, the Bad Boy stuff when we was – whooping them up and shit. But other than that, I mean, it was a great documentary all in all, though. It was good.
Hey, Alex in the chat pointed out, and he's right. I forgot about this. That Steve Kerr moment in the documentary was good, too.
Yeah, that was good. I didn't know about that. Didn't know about that.
Neither did I. And I understand why he is the way he is now and why he's so active.
Yeah.
And outspoken. I thought that was dope. And the last thing. And one of you guys pointed out in the chat, I think it was Kyle, ain't no way in hell I'm letting Jordan get away with this. I have that Kenny Lattimore album. I like that song, Days Like This. There is no way in hell you bounce to that song like that.
Yeah, he was bouncing, wasn't he? It was like, I'm like, I thought Kenny he doesn't even groove like that. Like, why he?
Yeah.
I'm like, what?
Why you flapping?
Why you? You don't flap to that, dude. You do not flap to that at all.
I thought he had a Take Keith song. I'm like, damn, ain't this supposed to be 98? You're bouncing like the Young Boys.
I promise you. I was like, man, what you listening to?
He was listening to Hard Not Life, man.
He said it like Kenny Lattimore was like somebody just like Michael Jackson, like, he's my personal friend. You don't know, it's new. This ain't even out yet. I'm like, man,
which Kenny Lattimore? Yeah, when he said, because that is a good album from the Soul of a Man. That's a really great album. But when this fool said Kenny Lattimore, I was like, Jordan Lyon. I did not believe it. But Kenny Lattimore confirmed it on Twitter.
You don't flap like that, though. Why are you flapping like that, though, Ken?
Dang, Kenny Lattimore, days like this.
Hey man, let that man live, man. Well, you can play basketball the way he can play basketball, man. You can
You can box to Kenny Lattimore
the way you want to. You're right. The joke's gonna still come, bro. Yep. I don't care who you are.
He's good at basketball. This is what we do. We do music. So he came over here. This is our arena. This is our court.
Right.
He might have been listening. It's June 98. He might have been listening to some Hov, man. He might have been listening to some DMX.
He said Kenny Lattimore. Right. And the song was Days Like This.
Kenny Lattimore fit the image better than, you know.
Okay. Kenny Lattimore said it was true. That is
hey, man. Yeah.
Listen, for me, my favorite points of the doc was, like, I think to expand upon what I also said on Manny's podcast, make sure y'all check it out again. I love the players talking about these moments, like the Reggie Millers, the Gary Payton, Steve Kerr, you know, John Stockton. Like, we got, like, all Isaiah Thomas, all the legends talked about these moments like it was just yesterday. And you could tell, like, these moments define who they were in their careers as well, too. So I like that type of all access pass to, like, not only do we hear from the man, but we also hear it from his opponents as well.
You know what? It's a shame we never got a chance to see Akeem go against MJ. I remember that shot. They had to show that Stockton shot all over again. Man, crushing.
Honestly, I think that's more interesting discussion than the 99 and 2000. What, you know, going for championship number 7. I think what would have happened had Jordan not retired in 93. Would the Rockets still would have won those championships? That to me is more of the interesting discussion than the final.
Akeem was a problem, bro.
I think he would have got one, but that's about it.
That Rockets team was good. They had a really, really balanced roster. Sam Cassell was a young rookie. Kenny Smith was the true. The Rockets gave them problems, but
Vernon Maxwell,
Vernon Maxwell, and MJ is on record. I think think BJ said this. Yeah. He's on record. He didn't want to play them.
No, he didn't.
He would have loved the challenge, though.
So
if he didn't want to play Olajuwon and them, he wanted to play Tim Duncan and David Robinson. Okay.
He over here petty as hell.
You're not gonna let that one go.
Smoke them boys, man.
Nope. Yeah. We'll never know. That's the beauty of it.
Yeah.
Any last thoughts?
No. I mean, you guys have said everything that you know is to say about the documentary. I mean, I'm pretty much with everybody. I mean, just recapping his greatness, man. I mean. That's the brilliance of it. I did enjoy the rise of Jordan. You know, so him talking about you know his come up. You know, deciding to go to North Carolina, the worst school in Carolina.
Come on, bro.
Deciding to go there. Hey! I'm a Dookie for life. So, deciding to go to North Carolina. The even though it was a little bit of the first episode, just discussing his time in North Carolina, the come up. Playing on USA basketball, then his first couple years in the league. Just the come up of Jordan, I enjoyed that. Obviously, the story of how he went to Nike, we got to forever thank Mama Jordan for that decision. She gave Mike the nudge to go see Phil Knight in Oregon, and the rest was history. The part I enjoyed the most was the moments between Mike and his dad, just discussing that relationship. I enjoyed the human moments because, I mean, obviously we all know Jordan's greatness. That's not even a debate. But the human elements of Jordan, you know, him discuss the part that really got me was the relationship he had with the security guard when they talked about that in episode 9 and 10. Because we don't see that part of Jordan. You know what I mean? We all just see the greatness and the memes and everything like that. And we talk about his off the court exploits as far as gambling and all that. But we never talk about the human elements of Jordan. And he is a very private and reserved individual. So when you do get to see those little bits, I thought that was interesting. So the relationship he had with that security guard, obviously the stuff with his dad, I mean, was just heart-wrenching. And, you know, finally hearing the audio of Father's Day game, in the Father's Day game championship. Him just tearing, I mean, him just breaking down in the locker room. I mean, that stuff was just, I mean, I love seeing that. So, yeah, overall, it was just a great documentary. I got to ask you guys real quick, where would you guys rank this all-time 30 for 30s?
I'll say top five.
I haven't seen that many. I've watched this one and The Bad Boys.
Yeah, I watched so many. I can't even remember, man. Like, I know, I mean, you know, the Ivo one was good. The Bo Jackson one was good.
Bo Jackson was good.
Yeah.
Was Ric Flair good?
Huh?
Ric Flair, was that one good?
Yeah, Ric Flair was good.
That was great. That was great. Yeah.
That was back when I used to watch wrestling. So, yeah, Ric Flair was good. Of course, the Bad Boys and the Fab Five joints was good.
SMU one was really good. The SMU one was good.
Yeah, the SMU one was good. Yeah, it's a lot of good ones,
Miami.
Man.
I mean, so many great ones. OJ, to me, is the best. To me, still nothing is touching that one.
OJ versus America? Or the
one?
The five-part one?
Yeah, that one.
He didn't do it, by the way.
Thank you. He did. Thank you, Ken. He didn't do it.
I ain't even going to touch that one. I'm not touching that one.
He didn't do it.
That's a whole nother conversation.
OJ didn't physically do it. OJ just made sure the job was done. That's it. He was there to make sure the job was done.
The OJ one is still the best. It's still the best one.
I agree with you. Yeah, I agree with you, Manny. You know, now that you mentioned it, the OJ one is the best one because that's the one I think I've watched that one like twice or three times. Like I literally watched it over again because I was that fascinated by the story. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that's what I was gonna say. Like the OJ one is the most compelling, the most fascinating because of obviously how great of an athlete he was and what he was doing on the field. It wasn't, you know what I'm saying, it wasn't done. And then his perception of being black and then having a white wife and then she died. Like it was so
everything,
much. It was so
everything dark. About it, yeah.
Everything.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, the Miami one, I think it's in like the top three.
Oh Miami one. So I don't know why I ranked this MJ one, Manny. I don't even know where.
I've watched so many and I've done so many reviews. Yeah. That's why it's like in my
top 15.
it's top 10. It's in there. It's in the top 10 somewhere.
This one's top three for me. The U is definitely top three. This one and OJ. Those are my three.
Maybe
I don't know what.
Maybe
order,
that's a. Ask me, but. Maybe that's a dead end episode. I mean, we ain't got no sports to talk about, so maybe that's a future episode.
That's actually true.
Discussing all the 30 for 30s.
I was gonna say, are y'all interested in like I don't know if they have the footage to do it, but like Phil Jackson a few years later going into that Laker dynasty.
That's what I want.
Next. You got to do a Shaq and Kobe 30.
That's what I want.
Just, I mean, that's no. That's
that may have been. Been better than this.
Let me ask y'all this. What would be the NFL version of Last Dance y'all would want to see? Like, you know, I mean, it don't have to be called The Last Dance, but like what's an NFL team or organization or whatever?
49ers.
I was going to say them Cowboys teams with Emmitt and Troy and Michael Irvin.
1 yard line.
With the
Seattle Seahawks?
No, like you're talking about the Tennessee Titans and the Rams.
Nah, I was talking about the Seahawks.
Oh, okay.
But nah, the Cowboys would be great.
The Cowboys would be great.
Yeah. That gives you more, they did more off the field.
And he's dead.
Nate Newton.
Who?
Nate Newton.
Oh, yeah, that would be great.
Who are you gonna say?
I want some Lawrence Taylor stories too, man.
That's what I was gonna say. The Giants. The 80s Giants.
That's a good one. The 49ers.
They did a 30 for 30 on the 85 Bears, didn't they?
Yeah, they did.
Yep.
Damn. 30
for 30 got some good. Man, 30 for 30 got some good documentaries.
I would say if we talk about the NFL, the 49ers, the 80s 49ers, that's a good topic. You can have a couple episodes on that. I mean, they don't have a lot of off-the-field stuff, but it doesn't have to be off-the-field. It just could be talking about that dynasty, how they were created.
I know my pops would say – he'll say the Pittsburgh Steelers of the 70s.
Yeah, that's a good one. Crazy. The Raiders. Yeah. I'm surprised you haven't seen a Raiders. Is there a Raiders 30 for 30? I don't think so.
Al Davis? I think Ice Cube did one with him.
Oh, when the Raiders – is there a Raiders left LA? Yes, there is. Yes, there is. When he played a playoff game for the Braves.
I just watched it. I'm tripping.
Hey, you know what? I mean, it's not on ESPN, but I don't know if any of y'all checked it out. It was a documentary that came on HBO about the women's USC with Cheryl Miller and Cynthia Cooper.
Oh, yeah. I saw that. Yeah.
Yo, that shit was good, man. If y'all get a chance, why I forgot what's the women of Trojan or something like that, a Troy or something like that. But when y'all get a chance, watch it, man. It's on HBO. It's good.
Hope it's Troy and not Trojan, because that could go.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I can't remember the name. I can't remember the name verbatim, Ken. I gotta look it up. But yeah, man, it's a dope documentary. It's really a dope documentary.
There's a Stephon Marbury documentary that's really good. I'm halfway through it, but it's really, really good. It's like on VOD, so it's available like on Prime Video, YouTube, or whatever. It's only like $3 or something like that. But it's a really good documentary. It talks about his whole life coming out of Brooklyn, you know, getting into the NBA. I think it's called A Kid from Coney Island. That's a really good documentary.
Got me looking up this damn women shit now.
Yeah, it's out there. So if you guys are interested, it's out there. Find it.
Okay.
Yeah, that's all I had. I just wanted to get y'all thoughts on that, and because now we have time, I'm waiting for the next one. So it feels like they're turning these out, as B and Manny was just pointing out to, like, how many 30 for 30s, but a few ones that just stick out that everybody just sits back and watch. I can't wait for that next one.
That Bruce Lee one looks like it's gonna be really good. I can't remember that one.
B Water or something like that. Yeah.
Yeah. And that 98 home run chase is gonna be a good one too.
Yeah.
Talking about that. I hope they get into Sammy Sosa's new look.
Boy, that cast with a friendly ghost. Live action.
Oh, Women of Troy, yeah, that's what it's called. Women of Troy. Okay. Yeah.
That's better.
Yeah, Women of Troy. I looked it up. Women of Troy.
We need a Duke 30 for 30.
No, we don't.
Man, we don't need nothing from Duke.
We good.
Nothing from Duke.
All right. Well, I think that's gonna do it for us. Manny, we appreciate you coming through, man, and hanging out with us.
It's an honor, man. I appreciate y'all.
Yeah, man, and for those of you that are still listening, I will drop the link to the Last Dance roundtable that they recorded, and it came out today, actually. So no, yesterday, Wednesday. So
yeah,
you guys
yesterday.
Can hear their reactions to that, and I'm sure some more fleshed out conversations as well. So you guys can check that out. And we are aiming to return back to our regular schedule starting next week. So 9 p.m. I'm going to try to schedule these in advance so you guys will know. So we won't be bouncing back all over the place. So we're trying to get back to normalcy as the world starts to readjust. So anyway, thank you guys for showing up, man. We always appreciate it. And we'll catch you guys next time. We out. Peace.
Peace.